I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
All right, are we ready to try our Kahoot, Mrs. Turek? Okay, so what you need to do, nope, we don't need all of that ID and password. We just need to go to kahoot.com, www.kahoot, sorry, not .com, kahoot.it, kahoot.it, okay? And raise your hand when you got it. And it'll say, enter your PIN, okay? You'll see our PIN right there. It's gonna be 3340125. So if you get that, 3340125, and then you'll hit enter. It'll say connecting to Kahoot, and then it'll ask you to put in a nickname. I'm gonna put in mine, Clayton and Sam, because I'm gonna give this to Clayton and Sam to do in a second. Okay, go. All right, Clayton and Sam will be on there. All right, we've got Barry the Great. I wonder who that is. The Dude? Let's see. Susie Q, my name is Jeff, KT, 14 players, 16 players. Okay, we'll give you a few more minutes. Sal and Sunny, Mustang, 3D, mm-hmm. Smart people are not identifying who they actually are. They're going incognito. Dixie Rixie, the bees. Okay, we're good. 25 of us. And if you don't want to do the smartphone thing, you can still play along. All right, you're in. All right, I'm going to give you 10 seconds now. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we'll go ahead and start. All right, how much do you know? We've got 8 questions. Are you ready? Number 1, did Jesus cry as a baby? Uh-oh. What happened, Cheryl? Okay, did Jesus cry as a baby? What is it saying? It's not saying it yet, okay. All right, we have a lot of people playing, so it might take a second. Where's Miss Emily? Emily, if you want to run up and help Cheryl there, that would be great. Okay, there we go. Put it back. Your answers are no, of course not. Maybe, but less than. Cheryl, just leave it, please. Just leave it. Don't fiddle with it. There we go. No. Okay, now we're going to go to question 2. Wait. Don't skip. Just leave it. Okay, good. We got 10 of us got that one right. Okay, that was a practice question. Now we can click next. Just click next, please, Cheryl. There we go. We'll let it load. Hang on. Let's let it load. Let it do its thing. Here we go. Well, we can see our scoreboard if we want to. Let's let it load. What does yours say, guys? It says tells you if you got it correct or wrong. Okay, let's try the next question. Okay, number two. How many wise men were there? Three? We don't know. Three, but we don't know their names. Or four, because the wise woman who gets overlooked. What do you think? All right. People are guessing that the answer is three, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Let's see what the true answer is. Only six of us got it right, which is, I don't know. Raise your hand if you got that one right. Oh, some smarty pants is in the Lee family. All of them got that right. Okay, next. All right, good. Now our scoreboard's up to speed. All right, we're getting the hang of it. Who came to the stable first, the wise men or the shepherds? Triangle, the shepherds. The wise men never came to the stable. Diamond, the shepherds helped the wise men get there. Circle, the star led the wise men there first. Or square, neither came to the stable. Three, two, one. All right, eight of you got the triangle right. The shepherds, the wise men never came to the stable. 10 of us guessed a little differently. All right, good. Oh no, is in the lead. How old was Joseph? Triangle, he was in his 60s to 70s. Circle, he was middle-aged. Diamond, he was as young as Mary. Or square, we can't know this information. Let's see. The answer is square, we can't know this information. We're getting good at this. Excellent job. Oh no, still in the lead. Next, how old was Mary? Triangle, her cousin was elderly, so was she. Circle, she was middle-aged. Diamond, she was little more than a child. Or square, we're not sure. Getting there. All right, 23 of us catching on. We're not sure. Excellent. All right. Oh no, still cleaning up. How did Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem? Triangle, Uber. Circle, maybe an animal, probably. Diamond, donkey. Square, airplane. How we doing? 21 of us got it right with donkey. Oh, wait, no. And maybe an animal, probably. See, I would have said donkey, too. I didn't make this quiz. Emily did, and I would have gotten it wrong. Even I think it's a donkey. All right, don't feel bad. Oh, no, knew it, though. What's the first thing the angels say to the shepherds? I bring great tidings of joy. Do not be afraid. There is born to you this day a Savior. Or glory to God in the highest. Do, 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 do. And the answer is, do not be afraid. We've heard some sermons on this one. We know. All right. Two gospels don't mention Jesus' birth. Which ones? Our Wednesday Bible study class. I'm counting on you to get this one right. Triangle, John and Luke. Diamond, Mark and Matthew. Circle, Matthew and Luke. Square, Mark and John. These are the Gospels that don't mention Jesus' birth. This one's a hard one. This one's a hard one. Ah, but we got it right, a lot of us. Mark and John. Good job. All right. Huh, I wonder what happened there. Are we done? Was that it? Okay. So our winners, do we want to identify ourselves? Who's? It's Faith Lee! Yes! Yay! And who is with the silver? Oh my goodness! And what about Bad Scooter? Yay, Peter! Next time we do this, we'll have to have prizes, right? Congrats to those winners, and let's give a special round of applause for Cheryl Turek. who came in this week and figured out a workaround to make that work for us, which was not easy. So thank you so much. And I was glad that it ended up working. So that's Kahoot. And we'll try some more Kahoots like that in the future. So friends, sometimes when I'm feeling grumpy, I say that I've got on my grumpy pants. If I'm wondering whether or not others feel grumpy, I ask them if they've got their grumpy pants on too. It's okay because we all put on our grumpy pants from time to time. One day I asked my friend Nick, who seemed a little down and out, if he had his grumpy pants on. And he said, "Tracy, I'm not just wearing my grumpy pants. I got on the whole outfit." This week we're talking about joy. There's an article from a while back called "A Little Christmas Joy and a Whole Lot of Attitude" from Garrison Keillor. And in that article he wrote, "Christmas is a joyful time, or so we're told, but a person gets tired of enforced joyfulness, especially when it's Walmart and Amazon doing the prompting. And so you appreciate a little anger to season the season. One more good reason to be in New York," he says. "Christmas has some opposition there. And people don't stifle themselves just because the Messiah is on the way. Saturday night in New York, a skinny lady in a stylish coat walked toward me saying, 'You did a terrible, terrible thing, and I can never forgive you. I'm done with you, you hear me?' She was furious. Then I noticed the cell phone in her hand. So she wasn't angry with me, thank goodness." End quote. He goes on to talk about how he angered a New York driver by walking into traffic. When the driver started cursing out the window, he said, "Well, Merry Christmas!" To which the driver responded by saying, well, I can't tell you how the driver responded, but I bet you can imagine. I like that phrase, enforced joyfulness, from Keillor. I think it gets at something that many of us find a little bit tiresome about the season. All those loud jingle bells. We wish sometimes for something a little more quiet, perhaps. What's the Christmas season without the story how the Grinch stole Christmas? You know the story. Grouchy old Grinch is sick of the cheerful Whos down in Whoville. He's had enough. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may that be that his heart was two sizes too small. They're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow's Christmas, it's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming. For tomorrow he knew all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys, and then, oh, the noise. Oh, the noise, 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 noise. That's the one thing he hated, the noise. Maybe we can identify a little bit with that Grinchy feeling, that feeling that maybe there's a little bit too much fa-la-la-la-laing all around. I know I feel it at times. Here's the thing, though. The Christian story is and has always been about joy during Advent. We can wear our grumpy pants, even the whole outfit, but we can't get away from joy. Author Sarah Bessie says it really well, I think. She says, joy is born not from pretending that everything is fine, but from holding both hope and truth together. The Christian can stand in that liminal space, the place of grief, even there with joy. Why? Because joy is the affirmation of the thing that is truer than any trouble, any affliction, the affirmation that love wins, that Jesus is as good as we hope. It's all worth it, and all will be redeemed. End quote. Christian joy, as Sarah so beautifully said, is not a hippy-dippy, happy-go-lucky thing. It's much deeper. Christian joy is rooted in the confidence that we have that all shall be well, all shall be well. This week, I had the opportunity to visit with Margaret Schultz, who is one of our members. Margaret is 91 years young. And to me, she's a true example of what it means to be filled with Christian joy. As many of you know, Margaret has an adult daughter, Sally, who has severe developmental and mental disabilities. And Margaret has fought for Sally for Sally's whole life. When I was visiting with Margaret in her home, she shared with me an article that she had written and had published in a journal called The Exceptional Parent in 1975. The whole thing is very worth reading, and I have a copy of it in my office. But I wanted you to all hear it from the beginning, not the whole thing, but just the beginning. Margaret wrote, "I'll never do that," we said, separately and together, in response to the suggestion that we place our daughter, who is mentally disabled, in a home other than our own. We were first informed of her condition when Sally was 22 months old. We felt as if the bottom had dropped out of our world. We felt utterly alone, helpless, and convinced that no one else had ever faced this particular tragedy. Why us? We desperately groped for the answer to the recurring question, why have we been singled out to be cursed in this way? Our pediatrician immediately suggested finding a home to put the child in, but with all the protective fury of a lioness safeguarding her young, I cried vehemently, I'll never do that. God gave her to us this way, and we'll do the best we can for her as long as she lives. And if you think your degree entitles you to decide how somebody else ought to live your life, then you've got another thing coming. I stormed out of that office with our daughter innocent in my abrupt embrace and sought the services of another pediatrician. We loved, enjoyed, and learned from our baby daughter. Probably we enjoyed her even more than many parents have a chance to enjoy their children as babies, because Sally remained a baby a lot longer. Her cute baby ways were precious to us, a treasured time to be shored up against the uncertainties of her and our future. We learned the meaning of patience as Sally kept trying over and over to accomplish things that were difficult for her. Even the simplest, taken-for-granted things like holding a cup or feeding herself. And especially the unsuccessful efforts, such as the struggle to learn to tie her shoelaces. These things required remarkable patience and persistence from each of us. Yet we shared the intense joy in each small triumph. Remember, friends, that article was published in 1975, 3 years before 40-year-old me was even born. And all that time, even until now, this day, 91-year-old Margaret continues to be a determined and devoted mother to her precious child, who's now old enough to be on Medicare. I took Margaret to see Sally this week, and we got to the nursing home where Sally is living out the remainder of her days. I saw Sally's face light up like a Christmas tree when she saw her mother. "Mama," she cried. And Margaret's face had a similar joy. If you want to understand the true meaning of Advent joy, spend some time with Margaret and with Sally, or with people like them. Theirs is a joy which knows suffering and hardship, to be sure, but it is a joy born of God and God's love. Their joy is a joy that can say confidently, "Jesus is the light of the world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let every heart prepare him room. In the name of God the Creator and God the Redeemer, God the Sustainer of us all. Amen."